Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Chinese Christian Church North. Once again, we are so happy that this morning you can come and join us in worshiping our awesome God. If this is your first time with us, we hope that towards the end of our worship service, we will have the opportunity and the privilege to get to know you. Before I introduce our guest speaker to you this morning, there are two things I want to bring to your attention. The first thing is our first ever English congregation retreat that is coming up on February the 18th to the 20th. And I know that some of you have been asking some very good questions, so I want to tell you right now. Some people are wondering what is the lodging like. And so the lodging there is very comfortable. It's going to be a hotel, motel style with two full-size beds in each room, and each room does have its own bathroom. Okay, so I hope that will put you more at ease. You won't have to rough it. And some of you are wondering, who is our guest speaker? Our guest speaker is Reverend David Lee. Now, Reverend Lee is a native of Atlanta. He has extensive ministry experiences with various ministries in Texas, British Columbia, St. Louis. But since 2001, he has served as the English pastor of two different Korean churches in Atlanta. And so I think that he is very well qualified to understand a congregation like ours, an English congregation in the setting of an Asian church. And so I do want to invite you guys to come and join us. As a matter of fact, Reverend Lee will be our guest speaker next Sunday, and so you will be able to meet him. And so if you are still thinking of going to our retreat, we want to encourage you to register as soon as possible. Now, on that day, on February the 20th, okay, in case you don't go to the retreat, we will still have a Sunday worship service here. All right, so I want you guys to know that. The other thing that I want to address quickly is that some of you have been asking this question, since we have Sunny, why are we looking for someone else? Okay, so I want to put away any possible speculations. When Sunny came on staff more than 3.5 years ago, he told us that he would commit to serving at our church for 4 years. Okay, so you do the math. The four-year commitment is coming up at the end of this summer. Okay, and so that is why we are looking for someone to take over his place. And you may be wondering, well, what is Sonny going to do afterwards? I think according to his Facebook, he's going to get married and have a few kids. No, I'm just kidding. Sonny plans to join InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, ministering to college students, possibly at UGA campus. And so if that is the case, we will still see him regularly on weekends here. Okay, so do continue to pray for Sonny. Our guest speaker this morning is Jonathan Xie. This is actually his second time with us. He came here the first time back in December. Jonathan was born in Illinois, and he grew up in Florida. And for his undergraduate degree, he has a Bachelor of Science degree in Microbiology and Immunology from the University of Miami. And last December, he graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary with a Master of Theology degree with an emphasis in educational leadership in youth ministry. And so obviously we like him, and that's why we're having him back. In case you don't have a chance to meet him yet, this afternoon, from 1:15 to 3 p.m. in the children worship room on the second floor, all right, he will hold a Q&A question. And so I want to encourage you guys to go there, meet him, greet him, welcome him, or ask him any questions that you may have. You don't have to stay there the whole time if you have something else going on, but I do encourage you to go and meet Jonathan and welcome him. All right, so without further delay, I would love to turn the pulpit over to Jonathan.
Okay, this is working. Hopefully my voice lasts. I had to preach this morning to the Chinese congregation, and I have the parent Q&A for an hour and 45 minutes after church. I thought it was going to be shorter. And then last night I was yelling at saboteurs, like 2 hours last night. Yeah. But, if you were there, you'd understand. The rest of you, too bad. But my sermon topic today is medicine. And one of those are little, Target Pharmacy. They have the little special looking containers that are fancy that put the medicine in. One of the things I have is hypothyroidism. Yay. Good, nobody cheered for it. But hypothyroidism is an underactive thyroid. It's a condition in which your thyroid gland doesn't produce enough of certain important hormones, namely thyroid hormone. Your thyroid is a small butterfly-shaped gland located at the base of the front of your neck, just below your Adam's apple. Hormones produced by the thyroid gland have an enormous impact on your health, affecting all aspects of your metabolism. This is a Mayo Clinic, so you know it's good. Symptoms can include fatigue, pale, dry skin. Yeah, that's why I have dry hands. I don't know. Fatigue. I don't know. Elevated blood cholesterol level, unexplained weight gain, muscle aches, tenderness and stiffness, pain, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. If you read the whole list of symptoms, there's like a million symptoms, but you don't get all of them. So standard treatment for hypothyroidism involves daily use of the synthetic thyroid hormone, level thyroxine. This oral medication restores adequate hormone levels, shifting your body back into normal gear. So, you know, thanks for coming. That was my lesson. But I thought about it. This is something that I have in my body. My thyroid gland, the thing like right down here, evidently it doesn't do a very good job of what it's supposed to do. It doesn't produce enough thyroid hormone. In fact, I had ultrasound like last week. It was really strange because, you know, usually when you think of ultrasound, like my cousin's pregnant. So when she got an ultrasound, she had to find out if it was a boy or a girl, you know? When I had an ultrasound, I'm like looking at this like lump on the screen. I'm like, you know, like where's my cousin's like, oh, that's my baby girl inside my, you know, like, that's ugly. But I just saw my thyroid. But so thyroid produces thyroid hormone, and because it doesn't produce enough hormone, I need to get an external source of synthetic hormone that I have to take every day to balance it out. My body can't produce the hormone, so I have to use an external fake hormone to balance out my body. And I thought of some parallels, you know, some spiritual things, because that's what pastors like to do sometimes. Think about spiritual matters and physical things, and think of illustrations for sermons. And I thought of some parallels. First of all, we have all been diagnosed as sick. For me, it was about 2 years ago. I had a blood test, and my TSH level was really high, signified my thyroid is terrible. And because of that, the doctor told me, and also gave me a follow-up blood test, and told me that my thyroid is terrible. That's what it does. But I don't know how many of you all have thyroid hormone problems, but I know that you all have a different problem, that we all have a different sickness. We've all been diagnosed as sick. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, Paul writes, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all." And in this sentence, Paul likes to do these little rhetorical things. He asks a question, and he answers it. And he says, "What then? Are we Jews any better off?" So a lot of the Roman people, the Jews in Rome, thought, "Hey, you know what? I'm Jewish descent. Abraham's my great-great-great-great-something grandfather. You know, I'm righteous just because, you know, I'm related to him." And Paul says, "What? Are we better off than you know, other people, just because we're Jewish? We have Abraham as our ancestor?" He says, "No, not at all." And in the Greek, the expression is meganoito, and he uses that many times in the Bible. It's an emphatic no, not at all. "For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands God. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." The Bible clearly diagnoses us as being sinners. In the Bible, it says that, you know, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all sinful people. Our natural instincts are to sin. And to compare that, use the metaphor of my thyroid, our righteousness organ, you know, imagine if we had an organ in our body that produces godliness or righteousness. That organ is broken. So our godliness organ is broken. It cannot produce godliness hormone, right? Righteousness. Within ourselves, we can't do righteousness, we can't do holiness, we can't do God-praising worshipness, you know. Our bodies are broken. Because of that, we're sick. And also, we all need to see a doctor, you know. First of all, we all want to diagnose sick, so I want you all to realize, too, that we all need to be very humble about these things. You know, you see a lot of times people on TV, like a lot of the Christians on TV, the ones that the loudest, you know, they always like to yell at people. They always like, "Hey, you guys are sinners, stop doing that." They like to point fingers and they like to belittle people. But the problem is that they forgot that they are sick too, right? Pastor Jeff, he's sick, right? I'm sick.
All, every single human being, except for one in the entire history of humanity, has been sick. Only Jesus Christ has not been affected by this sickness. So all of us have been diagnosed with this sickness. And whether you like it or not, you're that way. So first of all, we can't be proud of this. You know, because you're a Christian, we can't say, oh, dude, those guys are sinners, right? Oh, they're doing drugs. Oh, they're doing that. Because we have the same inherent disease in ourselves that makes other people do terrible things. We have the exact same thing. There's nothing different about us and them inherently. Secondly, we all need to see the doctor. You know, for me, when I got the blood test, I had two options. I could say, oh, okay, doctor, what's the cure? Or I could say, no, I don't believe you. I tasted my blood yesterday, and the levels are great. You know, I could have said something weird like that. I could either accept the diagnosis, or I can, you know, just ignore it. And sadly, for a lot of people out there that are non-believers, who have seen the diagnosis that they are sinners, the test results have come back, and they are sinful. The problem is that a lot of them don't want to come to the doctor for various reasons. And as Christians, we have come to the doctor. We also need to continually come to the doctor. This part of the kind of passage that we read earlier together. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So in order for you to come to Christ, the first step is always admit that you're a sinner. You have to admit that you have a need for Jesus when you come to him, right? Because if I believe that I am totally healthy and, you know, whatever, I don't need to go to the doctor for the cure, right? It's only once we admit that we're sinners that we can actually go get the cure from the doctor. Like, imagine if I went to the doctor and said, hey, you know, I don't suffer from this disease, but I would really like some of the medicine. You know, people get arrested for abusing oxycodone because of that. Yeah, none of you guys watch the news, do you? But, so we need to accept the diagnosis. We need to accept that we're sick, because if we don't acknowledge that we're sick, then that means we don't need God. Think about it. If you are inherently righteous, if you are inherently perfect, and you are godly and all that other stuff, then you really don't need God's grace. Then you're perfect, right? If you think that you're totally well and you're good, then you don't need God. That's plain, simple fact. But all of us people, we have to admit that we are sinners, we are sinful, and therefore we do need God. That's why we need to come to the doctor. And the Pharisees, when they saw that Jesus was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, the problem with them is that they thought they were righteous. They thought they were too good for those people. But Jesus says, hey, I came here to call sick people, not people who are well. And what the Pharisees needed to do is they need to admit that they were also sinful people. They needed to say, hey, I'm not perfect. I got my own problems. Right, one of my most favorite little stories in the New Testament was when Jesus talks about these two guys. There's two guys at the temple. There's one Pharisee, the guy that says, oh, thank you, God, for making me so perfect, right? I'm such a good spiritual guy. I give all my tithes. I do all this stuff. And thanks for making me such... I'm so awesome, you know? Thank you. I'm better than this guy right here, this tax collector. And then sitting next to the tax collector, or the Pharisee, is a tax collector. And the tax collector, his whole prayer is, you know, forgive me, God. I'm such a sinful person. I'm not worthy. You know, forgive me. I'm, you know, have mercy on me, God. And then Jesus says, only one of these guys actually stepped away righteous from the temple. And that was the guy that confessed to God that he's sick. So first of all, with all of us, we've been diagnosed as sick, whether you like it or not. We're all sick. Our righteousness glands are broken. It's kind of another tangent. In the book of Isaiah, there's one of the famous lines that says, all our good works are like filthy rags. And his example is saying that everything that we do to God and we present them to God are like filthy rags. God, you know, to them, it's dirty. And actually, the original Hebrew doesn't refer to filthy rags. It's a euphemism for what girls use at the time of the month. Yes, that's what Isaiah is referring to. When he says filthy rags, that's a euphemism for like a... feminine hygiene products that are used. So Isaiah's image is that the best work that we can do for God is like a used feminine hygiene product, which is obviously disgusting. I would hope that you agree with me on that. It is that the best work that we can do, because our righteousness gland is broken, because we can't produce righteousness in our own bodies, the best things that we can do, that we present to God, that we think are great, are gross, are disgusting, are terrible. So we need to go see the doctor. We need to admit that we're messed up. We need to admit that we're broken and come to Jesus Christ. You know, and again, that has to make us so humble. I think that's the important part. It makes us humble because we're all messed up. Whenever we see other people that are, you know, worse off than we are, you know what I mean? Say the people that get arrested out there, they do drugs, right? Or the girls that sleep around, or the guys that sleep around. Or the people that are just doing terrible things all over the place, you know? Whether it's the 9/11 terrorists or you know, the crazy corrupt politicians of somewhere. We all have the exact same disease. We all need the exact same God, you know? I mean, that's so humbling to me. That I'm no different inherently than, you know, some corrupt dictator, mass murderer, terrorist, you know? There's nothing special about me because we're both at the same disease. And the thirdly is that we all need our daily medicine. For me, I have to take a synthetic hormone every single day. And it's really repetitive. But every day I have to take a synthetic hormone to replace my own levels of thyroid hormone. And for a lot of us in our lives, we also need a synthetic hormone too, right? We can't produce righteousness within our bodies, even though we're saved and we're good to go. The Holy Spirit has to be within us. And it is God that provides us with righteousness. It is God that provides us with holiness. It is God's grace that allows us to do anything good. Because without God's grace, we're still broken, right? So every day, we need to make sure that we have as much godliness as possible. We need to go to God and take our daily medicine. Because a lot of times, Christians like to think, oh, look, I'm saved. I really don't need God now, you know? I'm set. I'm good to go, you know? Thanks for saving me, God. I'll see you on the other side. Can't wait to see you, whatever. But a lot of times, people have that kind of a mentality. But we forget that in our daily life, we still need God, right? We're still in this body, this weak body, right? We're still in this shell that has problems, has issues. We're still surrounded in a world that has a lot of issues too. The world is broken around us. So even though we're saved, we're still subject to those influences around us. And the only way that we can break free from those things is God's grace. So you have to remember that we need to always take our medicine every single day. It's not just like a weekly thing. It's not just, oh, look, I got my dosage on Sunday, right? I heard the pastor preach on Sunday. You know, I listened to the Christian radio for a little bit in the car. You know, I sang some songs last week or something. But we have to make sure that it's a daily thing. It's a regular thing that we do every single day. As Paul writes in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, he writes, "But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." And in the original Greek, if you've ever taken Greek, which I don't think any of you have, you learned about aorist and present and some other tenses, things like that. And with the verbs for to put off your old self, and to put on the new self, those are aorist tenses. Those are completed actions, according to Paul. It's one of those things that you put on, and you put off, and then those are done deals. But the verb to be renewed in the spirit of your mind is a present tense. It is a continuously active thing. So we're supposed to be putting on the new self, you know, getting rid of the old junk and putting on the godly junk, or stuff, not junk, putting on the godly stuff, and then that's a done deal. And we're supposed to just keep it on, right? We don't every day put off our old self and then put on the new self and then put off the new self and put on the old self again, right? We don't switch back and forth, you know what I mean? We don't go into Christian mode and turn off unchristian mode and go back and forth. But for Paul, you take off your unchristian self and you put on the Christian self and that's done. But what's not done is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a present tense verb. It is a continuously active idea. And also Jesus tells his disciples, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." As Christians, we have to take our cross daily and follow Jesus. It's not just we take our cross, you know, if we ever die for the faith. We don't just take on the cross when we get baptized or accept Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you got to take up your cross every day and follow me. It is a daily thing. It's not just something you do once, you know. How many of you parents have watched Ronco? Infomercials, Ronco. Anyhow, one of his famous slogans was like an oven that was, "Set it and forget it." It's like you do something and you set the timer and you leave it alone. It's not like that for us. It's not a set it and forget it. We have to do it every single day, day in and day out. We need our medicine. Because otherwise we can't really function. And so what are some ways that we can get more of our medicine? I believe we get it's from God, right? Our medicine is from God. The more exposure, the more contact, the more interaction we have with God, the more medicine we get, the more righteousness we can produce, because God is the one that gives it to us, right? With spiritual disciplines, sometimes spiritual disciplines, the authors like to equate it as a... So imagine godliness or holiness. God's grace is like a stream. And spiritual disciplines don't make you holy. Spiritual disciplines are just a way that you can get into the stream of God's holiness, and that way you get it. Right? The spiritual disciplines aren't in themselves magical, but the fact that they put you in contact with God, and God is special, that's how they have power. So my question to you guys is, are you guys taking your spiritual medicine every day? Is it a daily thing for you, or is it just a Sunday deal, you know? I learned my Sunday lesson, oh, I'm good to go. I learned my Friday thing, oh, that's good to go. Or is it a thing that's every single day that you're doing it constantly? And there's a lot of different ways to do contact with God, right? The spiritual disciplines, for example, praying. Praying is always good. Hopefully you guys do it. One of the things in my Sunday school class I did back in Dallas was I close in prayer. And then, my last class was 8th grader, so I pick an 8th grader. And then one of the things that's always interesting is they go, oh, man, when they get picked. I'm like, you're upset about praying to God? That's interesting. Right? And then when they do pray, it's like, Jesus, thanks for letting us be here. It's obvious they don't know what they're doing, and obviously they don't have any experience with praying to God. And that shows me that their prayer life is in shambles. My question to all is, how is your prayer life? Do you pray regularly to God? Is it something that comes relatively natural? You know, maybe you might not have like immediate, huge, deep, magical, theological prayer in like a second. But at least when you pray to God, it is something comfortable. It's something that you can do regularly. All right, I told this in the JBED story. This is one story that I really like. It's kind of apocryphal story that when some guy was trying to be more spiritual and deep, he finds a monk at a monastery. And he asks the monk, hey, you know, how do I get closer to God? And the guy says, okay, pray this prayer every day for like 100 times. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Pray it 100 times a day. And the guy goes off, he does it for a while, he comes back and says, sir, I can do it 100 times a day now. It's, you know, that's what I do now. The monk says, do it 1,000 times a day. The monk goes off, and after a while, he prays 1,000 times a day. And he comes back, hey, I can do it 1,000 times a day. The monk says, do it 10,000 times a day. Okay. The guy goes back, he does it, he comes back, and he says, okay, I can do it 10,000 times a day. Now what should I do? The monk says, now pray it so much that you don't need to count it. If you can get to the point where you're praying to God, and it's not like you got to check it off, but it becomes so natural to you, like breathing, right? You don't say, like, if you need to survive, you need to breathe 10,000 times a day. And you're going like, oh no, it's 2 minutes till midnight, I got like 100 left, you know? And you start like hyperventilating. For us, it's a natural thing, right? We don't count how many breaths we have during the day. That'd be absurd. But it becomes natural. It becomes something you don't think about. Although there are certain times where you can think about your breathing, hold your breath, or hyperventilate, or slow it down, or whatever. 99% of the time, it's something natural. And I think that's a very good example of how our prayer life should be. Although there are certain times of the day where it's like a scheduled, oh, it's time to pray, you know. A lot of other times of the day, it should become a natural thing. When your brain is on idle, do you pray, you know? It's something that I've been working on for the past year or so, too. And I think it's been really wonderful. To get to the point where every couple minutes to an hour, I naturally just, you know, give a short prayer to God. It's become relatively natural for me. And I think it's really great, you know? I'm just doing my thing, doing whatever, and then randomly in my head, I'll be like, oh, hey, you know? And I pray to God, something short, you know? Oh, God, help me through my life. Oh, Lord, give me your grace. Oh, Lord, you know, keep me with you. And you think about God all the time, and I think that's extremely helpful. So how is your prayer life? Do you do it all the time? Is it a daily thing? I mean, even Jesus Christ thought his prayer life was important. There's a couple instances in the Bible where people were looking for Jesus, but Jesus had slipped out, and he went off to go pray by himself somewhere. I mean, think about it. Even Jesus went off to pray. You know, if Jesus needs to pray, I think I need to pray too. So how is your prayer life? Are you praying to God regularly on a daily basis? Another way to get closer to God is read his word. God says, here, I have a ton of stuff I want to teach you, and I put it in this book. But how many of us actually read it on a regular level? Or is it just something that you read once a week or once a month? You know, all your Bible reading is when you read together in the service, you know. How often do you read the Bible? Because it is full of God's knowledge and His depth. If you want to get closer to God, reading the Bible is one of the best ways to do it. Because it teaches us about Himself in the Bible. And then one way to do it, too, I noticed in the bulletin, point number 7, the church is offering several Bible reading plans, which I think is really awesome. They got a reading through the New Testament in 3 months, read through the Old Testament in 9 months, read through the Bible chronologically in 1 year, read through the Bible in 2 years. I mean, really, that's not really, you don't really have much of an excuse, right? The church is even offering you different plans, you know. How are you reading the Bible? Because when stuff happens, you can tell when people don't really read the Bible, right? They ask certain things, right? Da Vinci Code happens, and then they're like, oh my goodness, is that true? Do you know, did Jesus really, like, get married to Mary? You know, like, did they have a kid? And you're like, here, why don't you go find that part in the Bible, because it's not in there. You know, you can kind of tell, because people ask you certain questions that are like, well, if you just kind of opened your Bible, you'd see that it's in there. So I encourage you guys to read your Bible, you know. Like, if you don't use one of these things, I mean, you could do like a daily devotional kind of thing. There's like a million of them. Go to a Christian bookstore. There's a ton of different versions. Like, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, or like 365 Days with William Wilberforce, or there's like a million different little daily devotional things. You know, pick one up. Read a little Bible verse. Just get used to reading the Bible. Or how about fellowship, right? First thing is prayer. Second thing is Bible study. Fellowship is a very important way to get your daily dose of God, right? If you have godly friends, I hope you guys do, your influence and their influence upon you can be great to help you grow in God. Because their godliness will help rub off on you. And if they're influenced by God, they'll help you get closer to God. And if, you know, all your friends are totally ungodly and bad, then I would recommend that you find some godly friends, especially the youth. Yeah. Yeah, youth have problems with that. So how are you taking your daily medicine? Are you interacting with God every day? Because if you're not, you have deficiency. You have a problem. So make sure that you get God every single day of your life. Don't ever skip out on a dosage. Always get God every day. And I was really going to have like 5 main points for this, but I kind of forgot them when I made the PowerPoint. I think 3 is good enough. I don't want to go into like too many points. It might be too much. But so first of all, we've all been diagnosed as sick, right? We've all been diagnosed as sick. We're all sinners. We're all sick people. Therefore, we have nothing to be proud about except for God, right? So whenever you see anybody that's sinful or druggy or immoral or whatever, we can never elevate ourselves above that because we have the exact same sickness as them. Secondly, we have to go to see a doctor. We're all sinful people. We need a cure. And that is only Jesus Christ who can give us the cure. Thirdly, we all need our daily medicine. It is God's righteousness that enables us. It is not ourselves. And again, we have to be very, very humble about this. So that when Pastor Chu or Pastor Jeff, when he preaches, when he lives a spiritual life, it's not because Pastor Jeff or Pastor Chu is an amazing guy in and of himself. It is only because he allows God to work in him. So whenever they give an amazing sermon or amazing message or amazing teaching, it's not because they're amazing. It's because God is amazing. It's because God gives them the privilege of doing that. Likewise, when we live as Christian lives, make sure that we realize that whenever we do good things, whenever we go to church, whenever we read the Bible, whenever we pray, it is only because God allows us to do it. It's only because of God's righteousness that allows us to do those kind of things. It's God's enablement, right? Just like I can't brag about my thyroid levels, my hormone. Hey, guess what? I got pretty good thyroid hormone levels. How about you? You know, I can't brag about that because my thyroid is terrible at doing what it does. I need to get an external source of hormone to make mine balanced. Likewise with us, we can't go up to people, hey man, look at my righteousness. I'm so righteous. How about you? Because it's not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness in us that allows us to do anything. So I want you guys to make sure that you take your daily medicine. Pray, read the Bible, make sure you have godly fellowship. There's like a ton more spiritual disciplines if you want to get into it. But those are 3 very good starters. You know, get involved in the church, things like that. And also, again, I try to do this in all my sermons, is I don't know how many of you all might not be believers within this service, right? Some of you guys, most of you guys are probably believers, Christians, saved and all that, but I would imagine there's probably a handful, you know, a few of you out there that aren't saved. You know, and if you've been in church, you've probably already heard this message. But the problem is, just knowing it doesn't do any good, right? Like with if you ever watch G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, at the very end of G.I. Joe, they always give some little thing like like a kid gets a broken nose and he's bleeding everywhere, and then the G.I. Joe guy pops out of nowhere I don't know why Geo Joe guys are hanging around kids' soccer games. But like the Geo guy pops up, oh, if you have a bloody nose, do this and hold it for 30 seconds. And if it keeps bleeding, you have a broken nose, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, he always says, and knowing is half the battle. Right? So that's not the whole battle. You know what the cure is, you have to do it. So if the kid breaks his nose and starts bleeding, and he goes like, oh, thank you, Geo Joe, for telling me about, you know, fixing my broken nose. And all he does is sit there and, you know, he's bleeding everywhere. Just knowing it doesn't do any good. It's only half the battle. The other half is doing it. Likewise, if you know that you're sinful, if you know that you're sick, and you know that only Jesus Christ can cure you of your disease, just knowing it doesn't do any good, right? You can go to heaven, like you can die and face God at judgment. And, you know, God talks to you and you say, oh, I knew that Jesus Christ saved sin, and I knew that he did it. Well, the fact that you never accepted Jesus Christ, all that knowledge is absolutely no use whatsoever. So I encourage you guys, if any of you are non-believers, you need to go see the doctor. You need to get your medicine. That's the only way to be righteous. It's the only way to glorify God, right? You can be a non-believer and be a great Christian singer or a great preacher. But if you're not a believer, you can do all the godly-looking things in the world. But if you're not a believer, as Isaiah said, you're just like, you know, feminine hygiene products that are very much used, you know? That's how it is to God. So that other people in the audience might go, wow, he's such a good Christian singer. Wow, he's such a good Christian artist or writer or preacher or whatever. But even if you get to those points and people think that you're amazing, God will say, dude, that's gross. Get it away from me. So you need to become saved if ever you want to come to know God, right? If ever you want to get the medicine, you need to first admit that you have the problem and then go see the doctor. So again, lastly, three things, quickly thing. Your diagnosis is sick. Y'all are sick. You all need to see the doctor. We all need to see the doctor. We all need our daily medicine. Our daily medicine is our spiritual disciplines. It's things that get us in tune with God, things that expose us to God. Do it every day, day in and day out. And if you're not saved, you need a cure. This disease is deadly, right? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So you need to get this gift. You need to get this medicine. So I pray that all of you guys will begin to do that, right? And the church offers so many different ways, too. They offer programs, right? They offer classes. You can read books. You have the prayer things there, the Bible reading things that are offered in there. Work on those things. Just take advantage of that stuff because you're missing out on so much if you don't. So I think my time is running out, but I would encourage you guys to do all these things. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that we have a problem, Lord, and diagnosing us and telling us about the problem that we need fixed. And thank you, Lord, so much for giving us the cure, giving us the medicine, Father. And I pray that all of us here, including myself, continually take our daily doses, Lord, and become more and more like you, Father. And just give us more of your righteousness and your grace and your mercy, Father. I pray that all of us will also be humble and to just be humbled by your generosity, Father, despite our shortcomings. I pray that all of us grow and learn and be closer to you, Father, and guide us all throughout the rest of this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.